Yeah, so there's no way we would class ourselves as an Indian restaurant, we're a modern British restaurant. But what's interesting for me is that there's elements of my palate that's probably been created through my heritage as coming from a Punjabi background, you know?
Yeah.
So there's spices we use, there's a couple of dishes that are influenced by spices. But my father also, when he was younger, went to live in Penang.
Yeah.
So there's an Indonesian element to some of our foods from back home.
Mm.
So, you know, I've always loved all that kind of savoury, aromatic side of food. And I think we've brought a very unique style to the restaurant where I want to give people a dining experience that's unique, but they remember it.
Yeah.
I don't want a generic Francophile menu you can get anywhere in the world. I want it to say, wow, I've tasted the region. I've tasted, hopefully, a creative chef's food.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to get across.
Yeah. And it's very much, I mean, the classic French cuisine that we all used to eat.
Yeah.
I used to eat when I was young. It is generic.
It's like cooking by numbers, you know.
It's like just a different...
Yeah. What's great about England at the moment and the UK is that there's a great movement of chefs that are sharing knowledge, techniques, suppliers, and it's creating a unique British style of food but still has got some identity with the chef. So if I went to a chef in Cambridge, I'll taste his passion, his desire, his flavours, and then I'll go to somewhere like Leeds and do the same.
Yeah.
And I want that regional food.
Yeah. And who are the other chefs who are sort of in this group of yours who are doing
There's the Daniel Clifford at Midsummer House, there's Anthony Flynn.
I went to Midsummer House.
Yeah,
well,
fantastic chef. Anthony Flynn in Leeds. We've got, you know, chaps, the Paul Kitching at in Edinburgh is opening up soon.
Yeah.
There's some great guys out there doing some really serious food in their local surrounding area.
Yeah, and so part of this is like, I mean, traditionally chefs would hold producers very close,
recipes
very close.
It's about sharing now. Share the same passion as the artisan suppliers. You know, I've got probably 150 suppliers for the restaurant, and we're a 36 eater.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a guy that makes our butter for us from the Lincolnshire Poacher Dairy that do the cheese. They make our butter bespoke for the restaurant.
Yeah.
And that, you can't get better. It's old school, churning by hand, and it crumbles rather than slices.
I mean,
they still import fucking French butter over there, you know, to England. Fucking leave it there. They won't import English butter.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
They do it here too.
Yeah, bullshit.
I've seen
it.
Australia. Can you believe Lurpak?
It's bollocks,
It is bollocks. I mean, there's a problem here in Australia. Everyone thinks everything from Italy and Spain is fantastic.
They should do, you know, nothing wrong being inspired by them countries, but do your fucking own.
Yeah.
It's a lazy cop out. You know, I've got a butcher, he's Hungarian, he makes cured kolbas, sausage, and chorizo his way. And it's better than any chorizo I've had.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's putting his British identity on it from his Hungarian roots in the style of a Spanish sausage. You can't get any more magpie cuisine than that. But that's Britain.
You don't just want to copy it, do you?
No, you want to make it better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And so how did you get into all this? What made you start cooking?
Well, I was fortunate. I kind of fell into cooking, really. I went to college. I basically joined the queue with the most girls on. So I could have been a hairdresser.
Yeah.
But I never. I became a chef. So what I did, I ultimately fell in love with it. It became an obsession, a passion.
Yeah.
And now I can't think of anything else. I love food. I love the fact of being a chef. I love being a restaurateur. I love the fact that there's a great, exciting time in the UK now with some brilliant chefs that are breaking the mould in terms of not fucking cooking traditional French
So like Gordon Ramsay, he hasn't moved on, has he?
In fairness, he's a businessman now. I don't think many people class him as a chef. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's obviously done something phenomenal. You know, he's opened a lot of restaurants. He's cooked to a certain standard and he's got it down to a formula and you've got to take your hat off to him, you know. But it's not for me. It's not my style.
So who was your influence? Was it someone like Marco?
Marco made a big impression on us because White Heat was out when I was 18, 19. Blew me away. I thought, shit.
Yeah.
This guy, who is this guy? You read his book within 3 hours. I read it 10 times by the first week. Blown away. Saw a guy, crazy, didn't know his name, half French, half Italian, didn't know what the fuck he was.
Yeah.
Crazy hair, rock and roll, lifestyle, smoking. It was everything. It was like, oh shit, I want to be a chef. And that was a lot of chefs my age will say Marco influenced them to become who they are.
Yeah.
He put British cooking on the map. He's the first British chef to get 3 stars.
Yeah.
Blown us away.
I remember saving out £150 to pay in cash to go to Wandsworth to go there.
Oh, wow.
Because the coffee was £5. I didn't have enough money to get a taxi back to Brixton.
Oh, shit. But, to walk, it was worth it, yeah?
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah,
exactly.
It was great.
But, you know, he was a great, kickstart to, I think, what Britain is in the state it's in now.
Yeah.
Is Marco helped kickstart that loyalty to British chefs to say, guys, fucking hell, if I can do it, go for it.
No, I was at a lunch yesterday with Phil Howe cooking.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Superb food.
Yeah, it's a great guy.
There are a few
yeah.
journalists around here, and they go, "What? You're interviewing someone from Nottingham, and you've got 2 stars now, is it?
Just the one.
Just the one. But, you know, a Michelin star restaurant in Nottingham.
Yeah.
I mean, was Nottingham, obviously Nottingham is ready.
It's a bit of a gastronomic desert, so we just do what we do. I'll be honest, it doesn't matter where I am.
Yeah.
Surely a gastronomic restaurant or a Michelin star restaurant shouldn't have to be somewhere to make it good.
Yeah.
It's about the food that you get when you're there. So these snobbish fucking journos that are too lazy to get a fucking arse come to out of London because it's inconvenient, fuck them. I don't want them there anyway.
Yeah, you don't want them. And how did you get your start? How did you get your wedge together?
Again, we don't know. We don't know how we got the star. We just cook the best we can, and if it fits into...
Money involved?
No, not at all. No, we are very fortunate. We own the... The lease, sorry, that we took a business on. We don't owe anybody. I've got no backers. Yeah. We've worked incredibly hard. It's a family-run business. It's me and my wife. That's it. And we work incredibly hard. We strive to be the best. I want to put that place on the map as a world-class restaurant. Not if I woke up in the morning and said I want it to be the best in Nottingham, I might as well stay in bed. I'm striving to be the best restaurant in the world. Because you don't play second division football without aspirations to play in the Premiership.
That's right.
That's the truth. The same as a chef. Why would you wake up in the morning and go, I'm happy at this? You want to be the best. And you have to strive at the top to be in the top 10 or top 50.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
So that's why we get up in the morning. And it's not to be a Michelin star chef. It's about giving food to people that's memorable. So if you came to a restaurant, you go, fuck. It knocks you out. You go, shit, I weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. I want to create this chaos on the palate.
Where next? I mean, you sit, what's it, sit 35 people? Is it, or?
Yeah, 36 covers, 7 bedrooms. We've got a little hotel on the side.
It's pretty small. I mean,
it is, it's
got,
great, you know.
You've got grander plans for something bigger.
No, I love the fact of the intimacy. I like being honest about the product. If I'm not there, we're closed. I'm closed at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm closed the place down for 2 weeks to come to Melbourne to the show. And it's a great honour to be
here. Your wife out here too?
My wife's here, my head chef's with me. Cool. We've made a real proper jaunt of it. We're celebrating by eating in Melbourne. Some great food we've
what
had.
Have you been
we went to Cumulus, had a fantastic time. Movida.
Fantastic.
I went to a little warehouse yesterday, laid on for my 4 guest chefs, 30 of us. We had a great 12-hour cut lamb.
Yeah.
And, you know, they looked at us like royalty. And, you know, it's about being honest.
Yeah.
I want food to taste of food. I don't want it to be messed around with too much, you know?
Yeah. So you're not in favour of the whole sort of Heston stuff?
I love Heston's food. I think it's probably the best restaurant. I love their food. You know? Yeah. I think it's a time and place. But even though we need guys like that in gastronomy to push the barriers, Heston's food, let's be honest, one people keep forgetting is delicious.
Yeah.
It sounds quirky because that's the whole point. It's about taking you out of your comfort zone. But when you eat it, it makes so much sense because the amount of research and development gone into it is years of work.
And presumably a lot of these techniques that people like him and Ferran have innovated, have they fed through to what you do?
Yeah, we've been using sous vide for many years. And you know, there's things you will leave alone. There's things that Ferran does I like to leave at El Bulli. I don't want to copy it. I don't want to transport it.
You don't.
Like the spherification. We don't do that.
We do
a mousse. We don't do foams. I don't like it.
Yeah.
I went to El Bulli in 99.
Yeah.
It was groundbreaking. Not many people heard of it.
Yeah.
I left it there.
Yeah.
I didn't bring any of it back. Because that's why you go to El Bulli.
Yeah.
Why go to El Bulli in Manchester or Barcelona or Venice?
Yeah.
You go to the one restaurant that's like years ago. You go to the Trois Gras for their salmon and sorrel.
Yeah,
you know, you go to the top restaurants in France for one dish.
Or you go to the French Laundry for the little cones.
The cones
transport, don't they? Things like that.
They do, but it's about the chef that created it. You want to taste his passion and his creativity. And that's why, you know, if the restaurants, we're trying to be honest, you know, it's not for everybody. But at least when they've come, they've had 100% experience of
it. You're an interesting chef to define English cuisine because of your background. Because of England's love affair with curry, which is completely mad.
Yeah, I think I am the best person really to typify a British chef because Britain once nearly ruled half the bloody world.
Yeah,
they imported loads of spices and techniques and flavours and people from all their colonies. I'm a breed of that. I'm a first generation Sikh living in Britain.
Yeah,
my parents came over in the 60s when the gates opened.
Yeah.
And I'm a
you said
I'm
Sikh,
a product.
You said they're Sikhs.
The Sikhs,
the Sikhs are okay.
So I'm a product of Britain's success, really, of controlling nearly, you know, 3/4 of the globe. Now I'm here. I was born here, so in Britain, sorry, and I'm British. You know,
how
British,
old are you now?
38.
38, cool.
But, you know, I think I'm a real British chef, yeah. cooking British food with influences from all over the world, but using British produce.
Yeah.
You know, we now only use probably 10% of export.
Mm.
90% of our menu is British.
Oh, and I ultimately, so, next 5 years, so comes from,
yeah,
abroad,
next 5 years, I want to be 100%.
Yeah.
And that's our goal.
British wine too.
Unfortunately, there is some, we have got some great British wines on the wine list,
yeah.
but I don't think we can compete yet with the new world and the old world. So,
yeah, cool. That's been brilliant.